The way I teach healing, the way I try to help people get started, the way I get started, the way I got started, I base it, I try to keep it very simple. We have two steps. Number one is listen to the Holy Spirit. And if He tells you to do something, then that's the right thing to do. Isn't that simple? And we're going to talk in here in the coming weeks about different ways to hear the Holy Spirit and recognize His voice. But step two is, if He's not telling you something specific for the situation that you're in, then He has already spoken to you in here in the Bible. And so when we do the Bible, we are listening to the Holy Spirit when we do what the Bible says. And in the Bible, Jesus is our example of how God does healing. And so our goal is to imitate Him the best we can based on what we know right now, and we'll grow in that over time. But as we look at the way that Jesus ministered healing, He ministered healing in a way that's different than what I think a lot of Christianity thinks about it. And the way I grew up thinking about it. I grew up thinking about it like this. God is up here, and here's me. And here's the sick person. And the way I prayed was like this. Dear Heavenly Father, please heal Uncle Joe, if it be your will. And then the way I thought about it was that God would hear that prayer, and then He would make some analysis decision based on some criteria that I don't know about. And if it fit the thing and I held my mouth right, then He would say, yes, I'll heal him. And if not, He would say no. And so the prayer was, Dear Heavenly Father, please heal so-and-so if it be your will. Because that's how everybody prayed. But when I started studying about healing, after I saw my wife get healed, that kind of prayer is not in the New Testament. It's not in there. It's very different. And it's surprisingly different. Instead, so if Jesus is our example and His disciples did it the same way, instead of asking God to do something and not knowing if He wants to, they were making the assumption that He wanted to, and they were speaking to the problem. They would say, in the name of Jesus, rise up, take your mat, and walk. They wouldn't say, God, please heal his paralysis if it be your will. Or they would say, Jesus would say, stretch out your hand, and their hand would be healed. He was talking to the problem on behalf of God instead of talking to God about the problem. It's a different direction. And this way, we're making assumption that God actually is good. So step two is, all right, step one is listen to the Holy Spirit. And if He gives you revelation for the situation you're in, then that's the right thing to do. And if He doesn't give you special revelation for the situation that you're in, then use the revelation He gave you in the Bible with Jesus as your example. And you evict the problem. You evict the problem. You command the problem to depart. In the name of Jesus. You tell it to go in the name of Jesus. You are no longer acting like a beggar asking God to do something. Your role has changed. You are law enforcement for the kingdom of God. You are a soldier in the army of God coming to destroy the enemy, which is sickness.
Say all that again. That was good.
Good. Our way of praying, for a lot of us, needs to change. Asking God to do healing, if it be His will, means I don't know what His will is concerning healing, and He's fickle, and He might heal them or He might not. He might want them to stay sick. Okay? That's wrong. And that's why nobody in the New Testament prayed like that. I used to wonder, because I would study these stories, how can they jump to the conclusion? How do they know that they can say that? How do they know, get up off your mat and walk? How do they know they can do that? How do they have such confidence that it's going to work? Why aren't they asking God, God, is it your will? Those are the questions I was asking myself. But the way they talk, they were making an assumption. I'm not going to say they were making an assumption. They were imitating Jesus, acting like He did. And every time He did it, everybody got healed. Jesus never went to someone and said, you know what? It's not your time. It's not God's timing. He never said, nope, this leprosy is so that you can learn patience. Jesus didn't say stuff like that. That stuff is made up by religious people. That's wrong. Yes. You're talking about the Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter was at home with a demon. What's that?
But she insisted, she argued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the one that convinced me of the goodness of God. That
right.
story really did it because she was a Gentile.
She was a Gentile and Jesus was sent to the Jews.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was.
That's why he was telling her no. He said, the healing, the bread was the healing was the children's bread.
Right.
And she said, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. You know, she was a Gentile. He did not come for her. He came for the Jews. But yet, she came with faith asking for healing. Yeah, exactly.
And she went away with healing.
Her faith was great. Great is your faith.
Yep.
Because she was a Gentile and she came and she asked to be healed. That's when I really knew that God never, He never really turned anyone away.
Right.
Never.
She didn't. So she's a Gentile. She's not even in the covenant.
She's not even in the covenant.
So she's not even eligible.
Exactly. He didn't come for her.
And He healed her anyway. And there's two people that Jesus complimented their faith.
Right.
She's one of them. The other one is the centurion. And both Gentiles. Because they didn't have any right to believe that Jesus would heal them. And they just chose to do it anyway. That didn't offend Him. He liked that.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I want to say that we're not under that covenant.
Right. Yes.
Jesus provides healing now for
everybody. For free. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here's something I hear a lot. Well, even though we're in the new covenant, Jesus said He came to fulfill the old covenant. So
yeah.
The old covenant is still in effect.
No.
But that's not true.
That's not true, no.
That's not what that meant, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll need to do that another time, though. But that's a good question.
Yeah.
The old covenant ended when He came out of that grave. And the new covenant is the one that we're in. And the covenant that we're in is one-sided. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be good to you. I'm not going to remember your sins. I'm going to declare that you are right in my sight forever. I'm going to give you an eternal inheritance. I'll provide for every need. all of that, without conditions on it. All you do is believe in Jesus. The old covenant is you have to keep all these rules, and if you mess up, then there's bad stuff that happens. And if you do everything good, yeah, grace. We're under grace. And so Jesus, under the new covenant, would have never told that lady, you can't have the crumbs from under the table.
Yeah. Because Jesus, I mean, I think it's in Romans when he says, Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To
right.
Anyone who believes. He was
yeah.
the end of the law for righteousness.
Yeah.
I think it's Romans, I think.
Yeah.
Can you say something else about, just to touch more about the Lord healing those unbelievers, the people Teresa mentioned that, that he healed those who didn't believe? I've always kind of struggled with that, and I don't want to talk about it, but can you touch on that just a hair?
What's the? Yeah, we've prayed for people that aren't Christians, and they've gotten healed. Yeah. So think about this: no one can be a Christian until Jesus comes out of the grave, right? You can't get saved until He has paid the price. All right, you can't be born again until Jesus has died and risen from the dead. So everyone that Jesus healed was a non-Christian. Jesus didn't heal any, yeah. When he was on the earth, before he went to the cross, he healed everybody that came to him, and none of them were Christians. Because you can't be a Christian yet. Their sins weren't paid for yet. Right? Right. They were healed because of Jesus, not because of them. Yeah.
And we prayed for an atheist before.
Yeah.
And God completely healed her miraculously from very severe diseases.
Yep. I've prayed for a practicing Jew that told me after she got healed that she doesn't believe in Jesus. But God still healed her migraines.
He's good.
Because he's good. Because he is healing now is not a reward. It's an invitation.
It's not conditional.
Right. He's not a carrot out there. He healed her first so that she would see how good he is.
And that doesn't say that she will never believe.
I mean, right. Yes. I believe she's going to believe.
Right.
Right.
Even though she's against it, right?
Yep.
But also, wouldn't it work because of your authority when you pray for her? I mean,
yeah.
He took authority over that disease, so it's your covenant with God.
Right, because that's God's will.
Right.
I have authority to execute God's will. So that brings us back to you said, say this again. So we are not begging God to do stuff like He doesn't want to. We are believing He wants to and then going out and enforcing His will. We are like police officers that represent the kingdom of God or soldiers in the army that are coming to set the captives free. And the oppressor in this case is sickness and disease or demonic influence or whatever it may be. But we have authority as his representatives to put our foot on that stuff.
So all this is happening, like all these healings and miracles we're talking about, of like you when you're with the person, like touching them, but can it happen when you're not with them?
Yes. Yeah, we've had that too.
Yep. There's examples in the Bible as well.
Wasn't that a centurion?
Yeah, the centurion. The nobleman's son in John 4.
You with the email.
Yeah.
You with the email.
Yeah. We've prayed for people over the phone that got healed. A lady got healed over the phone from fibromyalgia. And she was, well, right when we prayed for her, she started yelling. And we were like, what? Like, I thought something terrible had happened. She was like, I can move my arm or whatever it was. Like, she was very excited. So,
more success on Facebook than I haven't heard.
Yeah, so she's had people healed over Facebook.
I have a question. I don't know if you'll talk about it later or not. On healing and like people that are another, well, they're Catholic, and they say, I'm going to light a candle for you. You know, and I don't believe in any of that stuff, you know. So what do you say when another, you know, they say, well, I'll be praying and lighting a candle or I'll be saying my rosary for you, or I come from a big Catholic family.
I'll just say thank you for thinking about me. And then if the Lord wants to give me, if they're off somewhere, then I'll just ask the Lord to give me an opportunity to speak something. But if they're willing to think about me and pray for me, I'm grateful somebody's thinking about me. That comes back to not wanting to argue with people about stuff.
Yeah.
So I try not to put limits on what God can do through anybody. If he can talk through a donkey, right? If he can talk through a donkey, a female mule in a male voice that can see in the spirit, it saw the angel. Like, that just messes up every filing system you have. That doesn't fit anywhere. Yes. Yes.
And so, how do you think about that? How do you talk to the person who is a friend or a relative of that person?
So that can be tricky talking to people. So when I'm in those situations, I'm asking God for wisdom, what I can do to bless these people that are hurting. But I've never had someone mad at me that I came prayed for their person and they died anyway. Like, they're always thankful. So when I go to pray for someone, I absolutely believe that God wants to heal them 100%. And then if I don't see it happen the way I want it to, when I walk away, I try to watch what I let come out of my mouth. Like, I try not to ever say nothing happened or anything like that. But if I don't see it happen and they die, then I can't blame God, because it's not his fault. Because this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Jesus paid for it. So there's a lot of factors, and I don't know all of them. But we can, maybe they want to go home. I don't know. I'm not putting that on people, but sometimes people are ready to go meet the Lord, and I can't override their free will. Or, there could be so many factors. So I don't claim to know everything.
We just don't let it discourage. But I don't.
Right. I don't let it discourage me, because if I didn't see it, that doesn't mean it wasn't God's will. It means I'm still growing. And I look at my father like a coach on a team that wants the team to win, not a strict taskmaster that hits me with the ruler when I don't do everything right. So I come back to him and I say, Father, you train me, because I want to do this. I want to represent you accurately. If Jesus was here, they would have got up out of that sick bed. So keep teaching me, keep training me. So that's my attitude towards it. But those are difficult situations. April?
I just wanted to read a quote that I read the other day that really made me think about you when you said that. It says, if you're not anchored in the goodness of God, it would lower your theology to match your pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Say that really loud. That's very good.
It says, if you're not anchored in the goodness of God, you will lower your theology to match your pain.
Amen.
That's right.
Who said that?
Yeah.
It's Krista Lee Gifford. She's from Bethel.
Yeah.
Krista Black Gifford.
Yeah. You have to study the word to know the character of God.
Right. Knowing the character of God is, I would say, paramount. Knowing the character of God and knowing your identity, like, those are very important.
Who you are in Christ,
how God feels about you, what God has already said yes to that you're not even taking advantage of yet. Like, that's very important things to look into, because we are barely scratching the surface. Amy. Right.
They could do it, and I just thought, they were with Jesus all the time. They saw him do it, so I think they came to a belief that this is what was right. And I just thought about when they went and tried to drive the demon out of the boy.
Yeah.
They did not ask, why didn't God do it?
Right.
They said, why couldn't we do it?
That's awesome.
That's because they needed to learn something, and that's what we all are. We're all learning.
Yeah. Everybody hear that?
Yeah. Excellent.
And that's a great teaching. It's in Matthew 17, if you want to read it later. But so a boy, a dad brought a boy who had demons to the disciples, And the disciples had already been given authority all the way back in Matthew chapter 10. Okay? And they had already been doing it. They had already been casting out demons and healing the sick. So this man brought his boy, and they couldn't get it done. And then Jesus comes walking up, and he did it. He set the boy free. Now, if there was ever a time where Jesus could have said it wasn't God's timing, that would have been it. He said, because you don't believe you can do it. Yeah, because of your unbelief. It could have been. I mean, we don't have a lot of other details other than that, but he did not blame the sick people. This is very important. Jesus did not blame the sick people. He did not blame the sick people's family. So don't ever do that. Yeah, so he says, because of your unbelief, and this kind, sometimes this kind only goes out through fasting and prayer. And I believe, let me take 2 minutes to explain this point, okay? Jesus knew that his disciples were not supposed to be fasting because someone had complained earlier, why aren't your disciples fasting? He said, they're not going to fast while I'm with them. Right? And so he's not going to turn around and say, you're not fasting enough when they're not even supposed to be. Y'all understand that, right? So if fasting is a prerequisite to cast out demons and they were not supposed to be fasting, then he's sending them out to fail. And that's not how he works. Y'all with me so far? Now in the story, he said, it didn't happen because of your unbelief. And so I believe when he says this kind comes out by prayer and fasting, that he's saying this kind of unbelief comes out by prayer and fasting. You deal with unbelief by praying and communing with God and knowing his character and knowing how he is and how he feels about you and how he feels about other people. And fasting is a way that you put your soul and your flesh under control, that so that your spirit can be in charge, your human spirit. Fasting is denying your mind, your emotions, and your will, and your physical body from doing what it wants to do, making it take a back seat to your spirit. So fasting is a way to practice being spiritual. Fasting can get rid of unbelief. It can break addictions. Fasting can do a lot of things. But I think in this case, fasting would help them deal with unbelief if they have unbelief they're dealing with. All right. So I want to take the rest of the time tonight and talk about one of the reasons we can believe so strongly that God wants to heal everybody. Because that's the key to this. That's the key to our authority. We can't believe God any farther than we know his will. You can't have faith when you don't know what his will is. Like you can't be bold and confident when you don't know what he wants to do. Right? Does that make sense? Like I can't go up bold for God if I don't know if he even wants that. Like I don't have any right to be bold. If you don't know his character. Yes. So, to me, building confidence is very key to helping you use the authority that you already have. You already have all the authority you're ever going to get. The goal is learning how to use it and believing that you have it. You'll find out that a lot of things we're asking God for, he's saying, I already gave you that. It's just time to wake up and learn what we got and learn how to use it. I said this last week. We started praying. I had never seen anyone healed the first 36 years of my life. And then Teresa gets healed and we just go after healing. I mean, that's what our life revolved around. And we see people healed all the time now. But God's will didn't just change 8 years ago. Right? What changed was my thinking. That's what changed, not God's will. And my thinking is still changing. It's called being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to think the way God thinks to whatever capacity I can as a human. And I want to agree with what he agrees with. And I want to do what he would do if he was standing right there. All right. So let's go to Isaiah 53. Yeah, does anybody need a Bible? I got extras. You sure? I got plenty. Okay. Anybody else? Bibles to go around? Okay, Isaiah 53. This is about 600 years before Jesus was born. And the Holy Spirit showed this to Isaiah and had him speak it or write it down or however they did that. And I imagine that Isaiah had no idea what he was talking about. But he did it anyway. I'm going to begin at the beginning. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. So this is talking about the coming Savior. All right? 600 years later. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, or by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Man, that is powerful. I want to focus on verses 4 and 5, and really on verse 4. I want to get a couple of different translations for two words, if we have different translations in here. I'm in the New King James. What I'm looking for, it says, he has borne something and he has carried something. Okay? And in mine it says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Does anybody have different words there in their translation?
Mine says he bore our sickness and he carried our pains.
Sickness.
And pains.
Pains.
Infirmities.
Infirmities and sorrows. Any other words that we don't have on the board yet?
Weaknesses and sorrows.
Weaknesses. And what? Somebody over here had a different... Pain and suffering. Diseases, it says? Okay. Any other ones? That's enough. That gives us the picture. It says, surely he has carried this and borne this. Now this is talking about when he was beaten and crucified. And when he was beaten and crucified, he was doing two things. Well, there's multiple things, but two things I want to focus on. He was paying our sins, paying for our sins. He was paying for our forgiveness. He was paying the punishment that we had coming to us for our sins. All of the punishment that would ever be coming to me was put on Jesus for me 2,000 years ago. So I never have to wonder if God's going to punish me, because he already punished Jesus on my behalf. Jesus has taken every bit of punishment that could ever be coming to me. I'm going to say this about 10 times. We are never, if you belong to Jesus, you will never be punished by God, ever. Never. Because Jesus was punished in your place.
Amen.
Right. God is not an unjust judge that he's going to punish the same crime twice. And if he punished the crime on Jesus, he's not going to punish you for it too. Jesus was enough. What he did was enough. And if somebody tells you that God's going to be punishing you, they need to go look at what Jesus did. Because Jesus paid for all of it. Y'all with me? Can I get a witness? If I talk about that too much, I'm going to start hollering. But at the same time, he paid for our diseases. And sicknesses and pains and weaknesses and suffering and grief at the same time. He paid for it at the same time. Can someone read Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3? If you just whenever you get there, start reading it loud.
Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases?
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Now, do we believe that God forgives all of our sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, in the same sentence, it says he heals all your diseases. Do we believe that God heals all our diseases?
Yes.
Is it his will to forgive my sins?
Yes.
Well, then it's his will to heal my diseases.
Yes.
Like it's the same payment. Like there's no, that's not a question anymore. I don't have to wonder whether he wants to.
Amen.
I can eliminate that as a variable now. That's not something I have to wonder about. And that's why this thing right here doesn't make any sense. God, if it's your will, well, he already paid for it. Why wouldn't he do it? Why wouldn't it be his will if he already paid for it? And so when you're praying for healing, what you're doing is allowing Jesus to get what he paid for.
He paid a hefty price.
He's worthy.
Amen.
He is worthy for them to get healed.
Amen.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, really good?
Why doesn't anybody know this?
It's like, I want my healing, Jesus. He paid for it. He paid a hefty price for me to get my healing. No way I would not take it.
Right. You have to be taught wrong to not believe this. Right. And he earned it. Yeah.
But then nobody would qualify and nobody would get
killed. Right. Yeah. I wonder who came up with that doctrine.
And every time someone healed, Jesus gets glorified. Why wouldn't God want Jesus to be glorified?
Right. Why would he pay for it if he didn't want us to have it? Now see, we never wonder. If we say, come to Jesus and he'll forgive your sins,
right.
Maybe. If it's his will.
Yeah.
Right? We don't say that.
Sounds so ridiculous.
Right, that sounds ridiculous. But so start equating, if he's willing to forgive me, he's willing to heal me.
God said he'd go hand in hand.
I don't ever have to wonder that God's the problem anymore. I mean, that's what this gets down to. God's not the one that's holding back on me. There's some other issue. We're at war with another kingdom. I also have my own messed up ideas about stuff. Right? But it's not God's fault. His answer is clear. So I have heard, maybe you have too, in the past, someone would say, well, this is talking about spiritual healing. Anybody ever heard that? So just so that we never believe that, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. And can someone read 16 and 17?
Cast out the spirits with a word,
and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.
Okay, so the setting is, Jesus is preaching, and they bring him all the sick people and all the demonized people, and he heals 100% of them. And Matthew says, this is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. That's a fulfillment of this. Now, were those people getting spiritually healed? No, they were getting healed in their body. This is physical healing. Physical healing is in the atonement, is what the name of this teaching is. That we don't ever have to think that we have to earn healing in the same way that we don't have to earn forgiveness. You can't earn your salvation and you cannot earn your healing because it's already bought. It's like it's free, you're trying to pay for it and you can't because there's nowhere to pay.
I think sometimes it's hard for me, you know, I think, I know it says as far as the east is from the west,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, my fleshly mind says, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's what holds me back sometimes on truly believing everything because I don't forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that all my sins were forgiven. This is really a good word.
This is called the gospel.
Amen.
And gospel means very, very good news. That's what that word means. It means news that is so good, it's hard to believe it. Like, how can that be? That's so good, how can that be right?
I mean, think about it. When Jesus came, he was bringing the kingdom of heaven. He brought the kingdom of God.
He brought the kingdom.
And that's what it was. It was healing. It was deliverance.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is here.
And he said, pray like this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Well, is there people with a cane in heaven? Right? What did you say?
So there's no angels with eye patches.
Right. There's no angels with eye patches in heaven.
Nope.
That's not what that looks like up there.
Nope.
They're not all limping around. Well, if it's your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then it's supposed to look like heaven. And that, I mean, if you look how Jesus spoke, that's how it was. That's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody sick in heaven. Well, sickness, you get off of God's daughter right now. You get off of there right now. Right.
And that's why they were going out. It was casting out demons, and they were healing all the sick. They were bringing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to the people.
They sure were. Yeah.
It's good that it settles some things because I know as humans, and I know myself, I've sometimes ministered limited doubting. I didn't always know that God's will is settled over healing. But mm-hmm. You know, and I wouldn't know how to pray sometimes, how to minister, or maybe other of us. But now to know that it's settled, that his will, you know, I knew he loved him, but I didn't always know about the healing or other things. I thought, well, they're not walking right before the Lord. You know, you could see that, or you would know information they might share. So sometimes it's hard to know how to pray for people when these issues are not settled.
Right.
Now that they're settled, and then you're able to move in that authority.
Yes.
It's like you can take this much of power and this much authority. Oh, I feel the anointing.
Yes, that's right. You're killing it.
No matter what they look like, right. It's his will.
I was watching
his healing. It's just,
so. Yes.
Yeah. I was watching this one video recently, and it was this guy's getting his back healed, and he's like swearing, this is what happened. Some people have a fit about that, but it's like God's taking him where he's at, and he's rejoicing, giving glory to God.
His way.
I can't remember.
And you can imagine the multitude, the multitude of sin that was in the multitude that was.
Right.
Before Jesus, you can only imagine what was there, and he just healed him. He never asked. He never said anything about God. You know, I see your sin, and you're doing this, and you have to get rid of this before. He just healed anybody that came to him.
Right.
It did not matter.
Right.
It never mattered.
Right.
Ever.
And that was get right first. Get right with
me. Right.
Never said that.
Never turned
anyone right.
away.
Or let's dig up your past, or let's go through whatever.
Let's see. Yeah. Exactly. I see you're an alcoholic. Nope. Listen, we got to get that dough.
Right.
Cast the demon out and heal them.
Yep.
Forgive their sins right there on the spot.
Can you help us with understanding? You were going
so fast. Bless your heart. You're going so fast. Can you help us understand what she was getting at? What's the nugget there? That if you're praying for somebody.
Yeah, please. That was worth saying again. Yes. That's not a problem. Yes, yes. For healing and salvation.
And so once these issues
and getting free from demons. Yeah.
Then we can take more authority for the kingdom.
Right.
We could only go as far as we know. Kind of what you were saying, that we could only go as far as we know, but now we know more than
yes.
across the board. So it's very eye opening and encouraging, and we can take more authority and even go further. You know what I mean? To minister, to help, to bless, because now it's settled.
It's settled.
Like, do y'all feel that energy inside of you right now?
Oh my God, it's just.
I know. I mean, I'm like, I'm trying to calm down, but it's hard.
Yeah, it's like it's forever settled. Just like I said.
It is.
It's forever settled. And I was sitting here thinking about James, where he said, you know, is anyone among you sick? And he said the prayer, the righteous will save the sick. And if you commit any sins, they will be forgiven. It was just automatic.
Right.
He will heal them, and if they will be healed, and if there's any sin, it's forgiven.
Yep.
They just go hand in hand. I've always thought it just went hand in hand. Forgiveness of sins and healing.
I think one of the things that took me the longest time in my Christian walk to ever understand was that it's not only the sins that I've committed, it's the sins that I've yet to commit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's already forgiven me for those too.
Amen.
Yeah.
I used to ask for forgiveness constantly, and then finally realized, hey, I don't need to.
No, it's
I need to repent, yes.
But, yeah.
But I don't need to ask for forgiveness. He already gave it to me.
Right.
Yeah. Because when Jesus died, when God sees us, he sees our whole life laid before him, beginning to the end. It's like, because he's outside of time, right? So when he looks at me, he sees everything. You know, he sees my whole life from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. All that went on Jesus.
Yep, every bit of it.
The whole thing.
Everything. Right.
What about if it is a believer? What if the believer is like holding on to unforgiveness and they've got stuff they need to clear out? How do we...
Are you saying, are there conditions to get healed? Is that what you're asking? No. Not like that.
There are some things that can block.
It will make them unwilling to receive it because they feel unworthy. Sometimes it is, but there's a variety of reasons for that too. So something about Jesus was he would not force himself on people that didn't want to receive, right? And he came to his own hometown and he started doing things there that he had been doing everywhere else. And it says in Mark 6 that they got offended at him, saying, "Who do you think you are? We grew up with your brothers and sisters. Where do you think you're getting all this stuff from?" And they were offended at him. And it says he couldn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief, except that he healed a few sick people. So he still healed people even in the middle of all that unbelief. But there was a large group of people, it sounds like, that wanted nothing to do with him. Now, unbelief, and that's it. We've talked about this in here before, but the Greek word for faith is pisteo or pistis. It means action based on belief, sustained by confidence. It means taking an action based on what you believe. And if you put an A in front of it, in English we can say amoral. It changes moral to being the opposite of moral, right? It makes the whole word opposite, or going in the opposite direction. And that's the word unbelief in Mark 6. If faith in Jesus and believing in what he's saying is going this way, they are actively saying, "I want nothing to do with you. I reject you. Get away from me. You cannot minister to me. I'm offended at you. Leave." That is not unbelief of a Christian trying to get healed. Right? That's not what that situation is. That is saying, "You're not welcome here. Go somewhere else." And so in that situation, he didn't say, well, I'm going to heal you anyway, and get them in a headlock and say, be healed. So we prayed for a girl that was an atheist, but she was in such bad shape, it seemed like she was willing to do anything. So she had had a headache, a migraine that would make her pass out for 6 months straight. And she had a connective tissue disorder that if she sat still for very long, it would start hurting so bad. She said she hadn't slept for more than an hour in a row as long as she could remember. And she was miserable. So she came and she didn't believe in God. And when we first started, God had told Teresa, she said, I want to tell you something about Jesus. Jesus loves you and Jesus heals people. Or something like that. And then I said, what we're about to do is free and you don't owe anything, or something like that. And so we prayed for her. I'll skip all the story, but God, her headache went away. All the pain went away. She went home and slept 6 or 8 hours. Like, God healed her whole body. And after we prayed for her and all of her pain was gone, and I mean, she was freaking out a little bit. Like, what are y'all doing? And
not like, what are y'all doing, but like, oh my goodness, how is this happening?
Right. So like her idea of reality was getting moved around. And so at the end, we said again, this is free. These are just gifts. And she said, well, I like presents. I remember her saying that. And I said, well, we'd like delivering them. This is pretty fun too. And Teresa said, well, if you want to believe in Jesus, he wants to... She offered her a chance, and she said, I'm not ready for that right now. But he still healed her, right? Because he loves her. And because Jesus paid for her to be healed. Yeah.
I want to kind of, I guess, comment on what she was saying. Because I feel like it a lot of times is easier. Maybe not easier, but sometimes for an unbeliever to see that kind of miracle happen.
Yeah. Right.
Even though God cares about each one individually,
good point.
It is, I guess, for the unbeliever, it's like totally burden for the loop. But someone who's just been in it a while and sort of been living for the Lord for however long, whether it's been a year or 25 or 50 years, I've noticed that because you tend to put yourself aside, or maybe even if someone's being willing to pray for you or intercede for you too.
It does help.
And I think more often believers think it's because God wants them to have what they have. You don't.
You run into a lot of that. Right.
If they don't believe God, right. They don't believe he gave it to them.
Or they're more offended. Like, I've never had a non-believer be offended if I asked to pray, but I have had believers be like, that's okay, that's okay, and wouldn't let me come close to praying. So, no, it didn't fit their theology.
I have a question on grace. You know, some people say, well, now that you're healed, if you're an alcoholic, you can go drink, or you can do this, or something else that, you know, and Paul says, you know, he said, don't get confused, don't take advantage of God's grace. You know, sin no more, whatever that quote is. You know,
you're talking about, well, you're, that part of that was what Jesus said, but you're, part of that's in Romans 6, yeah.
Yeah, so it says, you know, your sins are forgiven in the future.
They are, right, yes.
But that doesn't allow you to go do things.
I know what you're asking, but let me make a statement. And there's a really good verse for this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, if you want to write it down. And that verse says, all things are lawful for me, Y'all know the rest of this.
Right.
But what? But not everything's beneficial. Right. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the bondage to anything. Right? So, sure, you're forgiven. Well, this is the Neil translation. You are forgiven for every sin, but don't be stupid.
Don't ruin your
life. Don't make choices that are going to put you in a place you don't want to be. Even though you're forgiven. You're still forgiven. You can be forgiven and go ruin your life and still be forgiven.
Or cause another brother to stumble.
What's that?
Or cause another brother to stumble.
Yeah.
I was just going to add to that.
I want to say that Paul actually addressed that particular, that exact question. He says, because he was talking about grace, and he preached it so radically that the people had to, they said, what then? Should we sin because we're not under law but under grace?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's that same question you're asking was asked to Paul.
Right.
Same exact question. His answer was absolutely not. Do you not know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient, as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey. The same thing.
You're in Romans 6?
Yeah.
Read verse 4. Read 14.
6:14?
Yeah.
For sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law but under grace.
That's strong right there.
That's right. So the same question you're asking.
The way to get out of sin is not by trying to. It's by realizing that you're forgiven.
Exactly.
And it just loses its power. It just falls away. It doesn't have so much force. Mm-hmm. Now, something you said, Paul's preaching the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and people are saying, you're saying we can just do anything.
Exactly.
Well, if you're not being accused of saying that same thing, you're not preaching the same gospel Paul was preaching. Because if people can't misunderstand you, that you're saying we can just do anything, then there's legalism in there somewhere.
Exactly.
Because you are forgiven. I mean, Jesus paid for all of it. Yes. Right. To go. Well, that's talking about authority over demons.
Okay.
Yeah. Luke 10:19. That's talking about authority over demons. They came back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He says, yes, I gave you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm you. He wasn't saying go trample on scorpions. He was relegating demons to bugs.
This would be an aspect of
talking about Mark. The end of Mark is what she's talking about, right?
You quoted snakes and scorpions.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of like a don't be stupid?
Yeah, don't be. Well, we can always say that. Don't be stupid.
Well, yeah.
Like don't put yourself in a situation that you don't going to want that outcome. You don't want the results of what you're doing.
I don't know if this is an example or not. I read somewhere that. Paul was also saying, but just drink a little wine instead of a little water so you don't keep getting sick over and over and over.
Right.
So it's a practical application
right.
to help along, but he was healed also.
Like if you get healed from emphysema and then you go keep smoking,
yeah.
I mean, you still got healed, but you might get it again. Right? Like, don't do that.
No.
But you're still forgiven. You're still going to heaven if you believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Smoking cigarettes doesn't override the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But don't do that to yourself.
Don't go grab a poisonous snake.
Right. Don't go grab a poisonous. I don't want to do that. I don't. Any other questions? Our last scripture is in 1 Peter 2:24. I want you to notice the tense of the verb in here. Is it past, present, or future? 1 Peter 2:24. Somebody got it?
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
Have been.
Mm-hmm.
That's past. That's already handled. And so for us, God's answer about whether he wants to heal us or not is answered, yes, I do, 2,000 years ago. We were healed. But that's already set in stone. Like, God's word is forever settled in heaven. And his word was that Jesus bore our sicknesses and our diseases so that we don't have to, in the same way that he bore our sins. So let's enforce God's will in here a little bit. How about that?
Amen.
So does anybody in here have anything you'd like prayer for?